All right. Well, praise the Lord. Good evening. Good to see y'all here this evening. Those of us that are online, if you would stand if you can, we're going to start out by singing Something Beautiful. Discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, two, three, four. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Amen. God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me. He cares for me, He cares for me, He cares for me, He's so good to me. He loves me so, He loves me so, He loves me so, He's so good to me. God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Please welcome Brother Steve to the pulpit.
Amen. You folks get to sit, I get to stand. Amen? That's right. It's your turn, preacher. You stand. All right, I'll stand. I'll stand on up. Here we go. All right, all right. Good to see each and every one of you tonight. Hope you're having a good evening. Did you get a lot done over to school? Did you get your rooms all put back together from the carpet cleaning? Amen. Does it feel good to be on fresh carpet? Anybody get it? Anybody get down and roll around on that clean carpet? I'd have got my back on it and said, ooh, that feels good. Clean carpet, amen? Nothing like clean carpet. Is that me or y'all? What is that? Amber Alert. Nobody has taken me yet. I'm still here. Amen. Well, let's have some praises. Anybody got a praise? No, it's not me. All right, praises. Yes, ma'am. Out of your boot, back in the ankle brace. Amen. That's good for you, girl. I don't know. All right, what else? Praises. From who? Okay. Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. He's heading in the right direction, right? And say that name again, brother. Jerry Burrow. There you were throwing me. You're saying Jerry Paul. Jerry Burrow. Very good, very good. Jerry Burrow with COVID. And then Joe Overa with COVID. And then Taylor with COVID. All right. Anybody else with COVID that we know of? All right, just want to make sure I got to get those down before we go on. Other praises tonight. Anybody else praises? Yes, ma'am. So your shoulder's going to be without no surgery. Well, good for you, girl. That's great. All right, no surgery. No surgery. Good, good, good. Okay, anything else? Praises, testimonies. Okay, amen. 5'5", 2. What age group? So, or what was, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. That's great. Amen. Going to be a full parking lot, man. Preacher going to be getting out of here early. You won't be able to leave. You wait till the parents get here. Be socked in. Because a lot of them come early. Yeah, they guess they're getting here early, man, camping out, to bring their books and their lunch and everything. They ready to get them babies first. All right, very good. Outstanding. All right, other praises. Anything else? All right, prayer requests. Prayer requests. We've got Wade Morris. Wade Morris passed away, I want to say, yesterday, day before. Anybody ever hear of Falls Creek Baptist encampment up in Oklahoma? It's the biggest, John Thornhill shaking his head, biggest camp in Oklahoma, Baptist camp in Oklahoma. Thousands of kids attend there for youth camp every summer. I don't know what they did last year for COVID, but this year they started opening back up. And so Wade Morris was the guest. Wade Morris is from Alabama. Youth communicator, goes all over the country speaking to youth. Looked like he was in great shape, 51 years old. Wasn't overweight. I don't know if he had any other extenuating health conditions. But he was a guest preacher there, 1st of July, there at Falls Creek. And he just died 2 days ago from complications of COVID-19. They had hundreds. I don't know if the case count is up into the thousands, but I know they had hundreds of cases at that camp. He ended up coming down with it and hospitalized through a pulmonary embolism, blood clot in the lung. They couldn't get it, or they tried to get it, and he ended up dying on the table. But anyway, be in prayer for him. He leaves a wife and a couple of daughters, and that's tough. You know, it hits close to home. He's 51, so I'm 53. So anyway, Wade Morris's family, great gospel preacher. He's with the Lord, amen. But his wife and kids are left behind to put the pieces together. I want to continue to pray for our healthcare workers, nurses and doctors. They're really starting to feel the pinch again, the burnout, the pressure. Watching some of the news, local news tonight, based on wastewater samplings, the city of Houston is expecting a pretty big surge of cases within 2 weeks. Said the Delta variant markers or whatever are way off the chart. So expecting a big surge in 2 weeks. So today is the 4th? So that'd be the 11th. That'd be the 18th. So stay tuned for the 18th, see what's going on. We may be thinking about what we're doing. Yeah, Brother Ronnie. Ronnie Holman.
He's had his last treatment.
This is the what cancer? Bladder cancer, that's right. Bladder cancer. So he's had his final treatment. Well, praise the Lord for that. It's good news. So pray for these healthcare workers. Pray for these hospitals. Pray for Wade Morrison's family. Pray for Brother Bill with his cancer battle. Brother Paul, he's got his upcoming cancer surgery. That is on August 18th. August 18th. There you go. Ronnie Holman, bladder cancer. What else? Other prayer needs. Jeanette? Prayer needs. What else? Jessica? Okay. What else? What else? Anything else? Unspoken? Okay. Yes, yes. What else? Anything else? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for the blessings of life. We thank you for the blessings of a church home. And Lord, we're thankful that we are able to continue to meet as a congregation and have public services, Lord. We're thankful we've got people watching us online tonight over the live stream. And Lord, we just pray that you bind our hearts together, Lord, that you help us as we intercede on behalf of others. We do praise you, Lord. We're thankful for the great enrollment over at the school here coming up, the beginning of school, and the interviews coming tomorrow. Lord, we're just praying for number 60 kids. And Lord, it would just be an incredible, incredible year to have 60 students over there. Thank you, Lord. We're at 5-5, and it's just a huge, huge blessing. Thank you, Lord, for sending folks. We pray you continue to send them. And Lord, we're thankful for the gospel that gets to go out through that curriculum and through, Lord, teaching the writing, the reading, the arithmetic, the science, everything, Lord, Bible-based. We just praise you for that, that the word goes home each and every day with those young students, those young kids. Lord, we do praise you that Miss Bicky's not going to have surgery, that, Lord, her shoulder is going to be rehabbed, and Lord, she's going to miss out on having to go under the knife. We praise you for that. We're thankful that Miss Pat's back in her brace and out of the boot. Pray you just continue to heal that, Lord, but we praise you for that. And Lord, other praises that were mentioned, we just lift those up to you tonight. And we're thankful, God, that you you pour your blessings out upon us. As we come to you tonight, Lord, we pray for the Morris family. We pray for Wade Morris's wife and his daughters as they grieve the loss of their father and this great gospel preacher, youth communicator, Lord. We know he's in your presence. We know he's with you and that you keep him for all eternity. But Lord, we pray for his family here. We pray that you just strengthen them, encourage them, comfort them, help them during this difficult time. We thank you for the impact that Wade had over the many years of ministry that he has got to preach. And Lord, all the thousands of youth and young people that he's influenced for the gospel, for the cause of Christ. Lord, we pray for our healthcare workers here in Tomball, Lord, and down in the Med Center, Lord, and all the hospitals in and around here. We lift them up to you. We pray that you give them the strength that they're going to need, and you just give them the stick-to-itiveness, Lord. Many of them are ready to just walk away after all of these surges and now another surge coming. And Lord, I just pray you strengthen them, give them resolve. Lord, we pray for people that are thinking about getting in the nursing profession or getting in the medical profession. Lord, I pray that you just put that call on their heart, on their life, Lord. Let them step up and step in if that's what they're supposed to do. And Lord, we just pray that you keep these hospitals going and keep these folks being able to be treated as they come in with these conditions and come in with this COVID. Lord, we do pray that this spike in cases is not as bad as what city officials are talking about. Lord, we pray it is much less, but Lord, I pray that we are ready as a community, And Lord, we would do everything in our power to be smart, vigilant, and all those different things as we think about this Delta variant coming to our house, Lord. We don't want that. Lord, we continue to pray for Brother Bill. We lift him up to you. We pray for his cancer diagnosis, Lord. We pray for his kind of setback that he's going through right now with not being able to take physical therapy, Lord, and kind of in an intensive care situation. We just pray that you watch over him. Be with Karen, Lord, as she cares for her dad and tries to be there for him. And Lord, we just pray for your perfect will for Bill. And Lord, we pray you see him through, get him through the nights, and just help him, Lord, as he tries to regain his strength so he can even take these cancer treatments, Lord. We pray you just help him, give him what he needs to go through what he's going through. Lord, we continue to pray for Brother Paul in this cancer surgery he's got coming up on the 18th. Lord, we pray for a successful surgery, Lord, if a surgery has to happen at all. We're praying for a complete, total healing and a removal of the cancer before he even goes under the knife, God. We're just praying for a miracle in his life, and we're lifting old Brother Paul up to you. Lord, we're lifting up Ronnie Holman to you, Lord, and he's received his last cancer treatment for his bladder cancer. We pray for his healing. We pray that you might touch him. Father God, bring him full circle through all this. Give him a testimony of healing. Lord, we just pray you help him. Be with Nancy as she cares for him. And we just pray for their home. Watch over them as they go through this cancer together. Lord, we lift up Jerry Burrow to you tonight, and Joe Olvera and Taylor, Loopy Holder's son, those that are with the COVID, getting over the COVID, trying to get over the COVID, having, Lord, a little bit of a victory here for Jerry. We're thankful for that bright spot. We just pray his body would continue to respond, get better, get stronger. And, Lord, they'd be able to turn his oxygen down lower and lower, bring him out of that coma. And, Lord, he'd be able to come back to full strength. Lord, we lift up Jeanette to you, James's mom. We just pray you help her with her balance, help her, Lord, with her daily living as she seeks to stay. She seeks to live by herself at this time. We just pray for her safety. Watch over her. Lord, we lift up Jessica Thornhill to you, Lord. We pray for her health. And, Lord, just pray for wisdom on behalf of the doctors as they see her and test her. And, Lord, try to help her. And, Lord, we just pray for Jessica and just encourage her, Lord, and just lift her up, Lord, and just give her a great boost and just encourage her, God. Just encourage her in her spirit. Lord, as we continue on, we pray for these unspokens, Lord, and we're thankful that you hear us again and that, Lord, we can privately say these things to you. We may not want to say them publicly, but, Lord, as we're in this prayer time, as we take some time to think about these unspokens, we just go ahead and speak them to you. And, Lord, we're thankful we can lay them down at your feet. And, Lord, we know that you're a sovereign God and your time is not always our time. But, Lord, we know that you hear us and we receive the comfort that you give us. And, Lord, we exercise the faith in you that you have what is best for us. And so, God, we just pray you heal these situations up. And, Lord, you bring about salvations. And, Lord, you just bring about reconciliations and all these different things that these unspoken prayer requests represent. We're thankful that we can give them to a gracious, mighty, and powerful God tonight. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and as always, thank you for saving us, and thank you for your word tonight as we get to get in it and study it a little bit as we go through this book of Revelation. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, take your Bibles and turn with me. Still on the mark of the beast. Chapter 13, verses 16 through 18. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Amen. Get you up one more time. Get the blood flowing. Revelation 13, verse 16. Have you found it? Those of you with us online, we're in chapter 13, beginning in verse 16. The Word of God reads in Revelation 13, 16, it says, "And he causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free men and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. Thank you all for standing. Now, when I got home Sunday night, there were some folks watching online, Becky and James Woods, and they literally sent me a picture of Farm to Market Road. Get this, Farm to Market Road, 666. It's in South Texas, right? It's in around Corpus Christi area. They texted and said, so you probably wouldn't drive on this road? And I texted them back and said, well, I probably wouldn't look at the sign. I would just keep on going. Amen. Amen. So we speculated a little bit and discussed a little bit this number of the beast. Last time we were looking at these verses, we ended up talking about the contrast. Don't miss the contrast, we said. The contrast between this mark and how God identifies us. Remember that? How does God identify us, church? How does he identify us? Well, but how does he identify us? What does he call us? No. Oh, man, you guys forgot already. That's okay. Sunday nights are rough. You've been up all day. You've had Sunday morning church. You've gone home, taken a nap. You've come back. You've sang some more songs of the faith. And then you're getting another message. I get it. All right? Huh? Friend, he calls you by your name. Your personal name. Praise God. Amen. We talked about how, what does the Antichrist do? Antichrist is all about a number, right? Government knows us by what, Brother Ronnie? Social Security number. State knows us by our driver's license number. Our driver's license number is linked to our Social Security number. Amen? We've got a tax number. We've got a this number. It's all about the number. But when it comes to God, when it comes to Jesus, one day when your name is read from the Lamb's Book of Life, it will be your name and not your number. Amen? Which makes it really, really amazing. Right? Revelation chapter 3. So that you are reminded once again. So when I refer back to it next time, you'll name. Chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Revelation 3, 5 and 6, it says, he who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Friend, you are known intimately by your name. That's shouting ground. Amen? Even on a Wednesday night, that's good shouting ground. All right. Well, that was the contrast. We said so we can safely say, based on the Word of God, that there will be a mark of the beast. That much is true. However, we cannot know for sure exactly what the mark of the beast will be. Right? We talked about the different technologies, how those technologies have improved through the years. And so, you know, we get to this point in time, and man, it's hard to know. Other than it will be a name or the number of that name, right? Or the number of that name, 666. But we did say this as we closed it out. We can learn some characteristics about the mark of the beast. And so we started the first big point. The first big point was this. 666 will be a mark that identifies loyalty. Verse 16, if you'll look there with me. And he causes all, the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. We are told that all people will be required to wear this mark in or on their bodies. Verse 16 says, and he causes all. The word there in the Greek for cause, it means to force, right? To force all people of all socioeconomic backgrounds, rich, poor, it don't matter, famous, unfamous, so social media giants or not social media giants, Twitter folks or non-Twitter folks, everybody is going to be required to have this mark. Everyone from the most common to the most famous, no one will be exempt. This will be a universal mark. Now, we are told two places this mark can be. The mark comes from the word that means a stamp, or it can mean an imprint, or it can mean something carved. Whatever this mark is, based on the text, this mark will reside in the flesh, on it or in it. And in addition, this mark will be permanent. How in the world can it be permanent, Pastor? I mean, isn't there something, you know, I guess if you had it on your hand and you lopped your hand off, you'd get rid of it. And there may be some of that going on. But if you got it on your forehead, you're pretty well stuck with it. I mean, I guess you could take out a big chunk of flesh, but and there may be some of that going on when, you know, people take it and go, oh man, I didn't mean to take that and I don't want this. And but anyway, we think now, right here, looking at this, that people will not be able to alter this mark, counterfeit this mark. Once you get it, this thing is on you. And based on the text, this mark's location on the body will easily be seen. It will be visible. So we are told that all people will be required to wear it. We are told two places this mark can be. We are told that the source of the mark is the false prophet. It's a false prophet. Now, the false prophet, who is he? Huh? No, the Antichrist is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the beast out of the sea. False prophet is going to be a man. The false prophet is the beast out of the land. Okay? The dragon is Satan, the devil. Okay? So we see Satan, devil, in chapter 12. We get in chapter 13, first part of that. We see the Antichrist. He's the beast out of the sea. We go further into chapter 13. We get the beast out of the land. That's the false prophet. These three make the unholy Trinity. We've got the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay? The dragon, he's trying to be God the Father. The Antichrist, he's trying to be God the Son. The false prophet, he's trying to be the Holy Ghost or the person of the Holy Spirit, depending on how you refer to him. Okay? So, the false prophet, we're told that the source of the mark is the false prophet. The he, in verse 17, and he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. The he, in verse 17, refers to the false prophet. He is the counterfeit Holy Spirit. Now, if you remember, he is the one who moves us, who calls us to salvation? Who helps us bridge the gap? It is the person of the Holy Spirit. Who convicts us of sin? The person of the Holy Spirit. Who draws us to Jesus? The person of the Holy Spirit. Who enables us when we pray? It is the person of the Holy Spirit. We're just completing the loop with Him, right? Well, who's going to draw these people to worship the Antichrist? Who's going to move these people to worship the Antichrist? It is the false prophet, right? If you remember, he's the one who causes the world to worship the Antichrist. He is the one, now don't let this mess you up, because we've already talked about this, but we'll review it right here. He is the one who causes the image of the Antichrist to move and to speak and to perceive, right? So you've got the dragon, which is Satan. You've got the Antichrist, which is the beast out of the sea. You've got the false prophet, which is the beast out of the land. And then you've got the image of the Antichrist that the false prophet fashions, right? And that thing speaks, and it sees, and it moves. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. You got there? Yes, yes. Those of you online, we're in Psalm 115. Psalm 115, verse 1. It says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, because of your loving kindness, because of your truth, why should the nations say, where now is their God? But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. But this cat over here in Revelation 13, this image of the beast, the false prophet does what? He makes that guy speak. He makes that guy move. He makes that guy weird, man. Weird? That's pretty weird. Pretty devilish? It's pretty devilish. Pretty out there? That's pretty out there. But that's what is coming, right? He's the leader of the false prophet, we've already shared, but we'll review. He's the leader of the one world religion that will dominate the world during the tribulation. And so the false prophet will devise this marking system. I propose or believe, as somebody living in 2021, that computers are going to have something to do with it, that microchips are going to have something to do with it, that GPS tracking is going to have something to do with it. But he's going to devise this marking system, and he will see that this devilish identification is carried out. Now, we have talked about in previous Bible studies, and we said, you know, if you're going to know Revelation, you're going to know the eschatology of the Bible, the last days, all of this stuff leading up to the rapture of the church, you've got to be familiar with what book? Daniel, the book of Daniel. And there are a couple of chapters that you really need to be familiar with. We have talked about in previous Bible studies about the consecutive world empires as listed in Daniel chapter 7, verses 3 through 8. So let's go ahead and turn there. Daniel chapter 7. There it is, Daniel 7, verses 3 through 8. Let me know when you're there. You there? Yes, yes? Everybody there? Daniel 7, 3 through 8. Everyone? Close? Go to Matthew and take a left. It's right there at the end of the Old Testament. Got it? Daniel 7? Amen, amen? All right, Daniel 7, verse 3. And we'll read it through verse 8. Four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. First was like a lion, and he had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind also was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, resembling a bear. And it was raised up on one side, and 3 ribs were in its mouth between its teeth. And thus they said to it, arise, devour, much meat. And after this I kept looking, and behold, another one, like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful, terrifying, and extremely strong. And it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet. And it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. While I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little one, came up among them. And 3 of the 1st horns were pulled out by the roots before it. And behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth uttering great boast. Verse 8, of course, gets you to the Antichrist. But the first 4 beasts that we see there represent consecutive world empires. So the line of verse 4, and we've said this before, this is just kind of a review, but I want you to think about this, right? The line of verse 4 represents the Babylonian Empire, okay? The bear in verse 5 represents the Medo-Persian Empire. The leopard of verse 6 speaks of the Greek Empire. And then the beast of verse 7 represents the Roman Empire. Now remember how we talked about in previous Bible studies how many theologians, conservative theologians you call them, believed the Antichrist one world empire will be a revival of the Roman Empire of old. And I tell you that because we have a tie. We kind of have a tie. We kind of have a throwback all the way to the Roman Empire. We have a tie back to the Roman Empire in our passage on the mark of the beast. You say, well, how so, Pastor? Well, during John's day and time, during the first century, remember he's on the Isle of Patmos. He's writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. During John's day and time, there were millions of slaves. A slave would be marked by his master with either a brand or a tattoo or a symbol or a number, right? In addition, in the ancient world, around the Roman Empire, around this time, such marks, tattoos, brands were commonly given not just to slaves, but to soldiers and to worshipers of religious cults. This is exactly what we see in this passage. It's exactly what we see in Revelation 13. The world will worship. The world will be devoted to. The world will serve the Antichrist. Leave Daniel and go back to Revelation for me. Revelation 13, 4, right? They worship the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him? And then if you'll go to 13, 15, that was 13, 4. If you'll go to 13, 15, it says, and it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed, right? Wow. The world will worship, be devoted to, and serve the Antichrist. And when they do, they will receive his mark. The mark will be a statement of their allegiance to him and to his government. Thus, they will be identified as his servants. They will be identified as his slaves. They will be identified as his property, if you will. Now, that's the first big point we were trying to unpack. 666 will be a mark that identifies loyalty. Number two, we want to begin tonight thinking about this point. 666 will be a mark that enables, it will enable the lost man, the lost woman. It will enable the lost family that is not saved. 666 will be a mark that enables short-term survival. Short-term survival. It ain't going to last forever. It is not going to last forever. Short-term survival. 13:17, and he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. The mark will be tied to the economy. People will be required to produce, to show it, to exhibit the mark, to have the mark scanned, to have it light up, whatever it is, they're going to have to produce the mark of the beast in order to be able to buy or sell. The ability to eat, amen, everybody in here like to eat? How many doesn't like to eat in here? Well, that's everybody. Everybody wants to eat something, amen? Everybody likes to eat. The ability to eat will be a great enticement for people to receive the mark of the beast in order to hold a job, to get credit, to access bank accounts, or to do something so mundane as go down to the corner store and buy a loaf of bread and a bag of ice will require a person to have the mark of the beast. Theologians have suggested that the mark of the beast will actually be a credit card system of some sort. Now, this is already being used in many cases for food stamps or other government services. You get a card, you get a this, you get a whatever. So think this through with me. Young parents with small children will be at a loss without the mark. The working man or woman trying to get back and forth to work, put gas in the car, the truck, they're going to be at a loss without the mark. Families without the mark will be unable to keep the lights on. They'll be unable to keep the heat on. Remember February? Yeah. They'll be unable to keep the AC going. Remember right now? Amen? AC? You're going to have the mark to have this short-term survival. Now, I take you back again to first century Roman culture. All right, we go back because there's something going on that you need to know about, or something that they did that you need to know about back then, and how it kind of makes sense with what's coming. And maybe it makes more sense to you that there's going to be a revival of this Roman Empire. Now, this new Roman Empire, of course, will be stronger than all of the other world empires put together, right? It's going to have the 10 kings, and it's going to have the Antichrist over the 10 kings, and he's going to rule the world, and da-da-da-da-da, it goes on and goes on. But back in the first century, Roman world, right? Rome was all over the place. They had holdings everywhere. Their influence was massive. If you wanted to buy and sell in a Roman market, okay, a Roman bazaar, a Roman mall, right? If you wanted to buy and sell in one of these markets of the day, well, if you wanted to sell, you had to pay a tax to sell your goods. You had to put some money down to get a spot, right? If you wanted real estate in there to sell, they didn't just give that away. You had to pay a tax. But whether you were buying or selling, if you wanted entrance, if you wanted entrance to go in to pay your tax to set up your goods, or if you wanted to go in to buy this guy or this gal's goods, you would first go to a little altar. And there was somebody keeping watch over the altar, keeping the fire going all the time at the altar. And at the entrance would be this altar. And if you wanted in there, you would have to take some incense or a pinch of salt, and you would toss it into the flame, and you would have to say something to the extent that Caesar was God in order to enter into there to buy or sell. That's just the way it was. Fast forward back to the tribulation, and do you see what is going to happen with the post-rapture tribulation world? Do you see what's going to happen, friend? This mark, it is instantly, I mean, it is instantly going to divide the world into two camps. Because I'm telling you telling me, of course, I'm not going to be here. I've already raptured out of here. But you telling me, I'm going to have to take a mark to buy and sell, and that mark means I'm that guy's property, and I'm his 110% citizen, and I'm going to worship him? You telling me that? Uh-uh. I'm taking no mark, man. I'm not taking no mark. This mark will instantly divide the world into two camps. You say, Pastor, there won't be people like you left. Oh, there'll be some people like me left. There'll be plenty of people like me left, right? People that heard the gospel. People that, man, they had friends tell them about Christ. People that went to revivals way back in the day or went to a youth camp 30 or 40 years ago, there will be people that got close to getting saved but didn't get saved but knows enough about the Bible after the rapture that they know this dog ain't going to hunt. They ain't doing none of this stuff, right? And so I'm telling you, it's going to instantly divide the world into two camps. The mark will prove to be a mark of division. It will be a mark of isolation for those that refuse to take it, and it will be a mark of subsequent persecution. The mark is really all about control over a crumbling world. I mean, the world has gone through some stuff by the time we're here. Earthquakes, there's been a rapture, earthquakes, floods, all kinds of fires, all kinds of things going on. I mean, you look on the news today, it's kind of like a dress rehearsal for what's coming, right? So the mark is all about control over a crumbling world. Everything in the world during the tribulation will be controlled. Food, housing, medicine, medical care, it'll all be dispensed only to those who have the mark of the beast. This mark will give the Antichrist instant power over every person, everywhere in the world. And so the total control provided by the mark will ultimately take the form of persecution against those who refuse it. And they're not just going to lock you up for 90 days. And you're not just going to go to county, right? And you're not just going to spend some time at the state pen. You're not just going to go to federal. No, you're going to die, okay? It's over, right? The persecution. It's only going to lead to this persecution against those who refuse it. But there will be many who refuse to accept the mark of the beast. And that's an amen moment. Amen right there. Amen. That's an amen moment. The 144,000 Jewish evangelists will not take the mark. The two witnesses will not take the mark. Their converts, the 144,000 and the two witnesses converts, their converts will refuse to take the mark. There will be literally millions of people around the world who will refuse to bow to the beast or to his image. They will reject the ministry of the false prophet. These people will suffer greatly for their decision, however. They will not be able to buy food or clothing or medicine. They will be refused medical treatment. Many, no doubt, will starve to death in order that they might not dishonor the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they've been saved after the rapture of the church. These people will be hunted down, and they'll be persecuted to the death because of their defiance. Revelation chapter 6. Verse 9. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, 6:9. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. They had maintained. Right? Amen? Verse 10, and they cried out with a loud voice, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Right? There they are. These people will pay a terrible price for their faith in Jesus, but they will be rewarded greatly when they leave this world. Amen? Revelation chapter 7, verses 9. Revelation 7, 9. Yes, yes, are you there? Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "These who are clothed in the white robes, who are they? And where have they come from?" I said to him, "My Lord, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tabernacle over them. They will hunger." Notice what it says. "They will hunger no longer." You think they hungered before they died? Yes, yes. Why? They didn't have a mark. "Nor thirst anymore." You think they thirsted before they died? Yes, yes. They had no mark. "Nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." Amen. You can imagine the mommies and the daddies watching their kids slain before their eyes, the fathers watching their children having their heads lopped off before their eyes. You can imagine the husbands watching their wives having their heads lopped. You can imagine the brothers watching their brother. I mean, you can imagine the family units who stick together, who are with Jesus, who will not bend, who will not break. You can imagine the price they pay going to their deaths for not taking the mark. And you can imagine the grace that Jesus gives them, the mercy that He bestows upon them, the love that they experience in the throne room. Amen? Can't you imagine that? It's going to be great for them. Amen? It's going to be a tough time to get there, but it's going to be great once they get there. Amen, amen? So we close it out with this. Close it out how? Well, we're not persecuted right now, right here. Praise God. We're not being persecuted for our faith right here, right now. Not in this nation. But many around the world are persecuted for their faith. And so as we get closer to the end, as the end draws nigh, the world will ramp up its hatred of the Lord Jesus and of those who follow Him. And even in this nation one day, you may very well see, like many parts of the world, that we might even see and experience, persecution for our faith here in these United States of America. Now, I believe there won't be a constitution if that happens. There won't be a constitution of the United States of America. They will have changed it to something else, but there won't be the constitution. If they come after us Christians, there won't be no more constitution. There's God all over the constitution. They'll have to get rid of the constitution. They'll have to get rid of Bill of Rights. They'll have to get rid of a whole bunch of stuff. But if that ever happens, they may come for us. Amen? Now, I'm hoping I'm in somebody's urn or in the ground somewhere, or, you know, somebody sprinkled me out in the Gulf of Mexico or whatever, you know, where I've been raptured on. I hope I don't ever have to see that, right? Hope my kids don't have to see that, or my grandkids. But you never, never know. Amen? The thing to be is what? Saved. The thing to be is ready. The thing to be is don't hold on to this world too tight. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's close it out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we can be in your word tonight and get a little bit more about this mark of the beast under our belts. And Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit just helps us digest what we've talked about. This book jumps around from time frame to time frame, and it is hard sometimes to get a handle on, even when we've been studying the Bible for years and years and years. But Lord, it's just going over it and going over it and just explaining it. We're going to get it. We're going to get it good. So Lord, we're thankful that we go over the mark of the beast again. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us as we leave tonight. Lord, give us a heart refreshed and ready to worship you on Sunday morning. And Lord, we just pray that we would come back to this place with hearts filled with grace and mercy for you. And we want to worship you, Lord. We want to pour our hearts out to you. We want to sing to you. We want to be in your word. We want to be an encouragement to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Father God, I just pray you draw a great body of believers here this coming Sunday, Lord. May it be all for you. And Lord, may we just get to be the people that worship you. That's what we want to do. Not about us, but about you. Lord, we want to be here this coming Sunday to worship you. So we praise you and thank you for that. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Folks online, we'll see you next time. God bless you. Thank you for being online with us. Thank you for your support, online people. We'll see you soon.